identifying and confronting your anxieties and insecurities, specifically so that these anxieties and insecurities don't destroy or cause your relationships to implode. And this is not just referring to romantic relationships, but also your platonic relationships, your friendships, your relationships with people in your social circles and with your family as well. The way in which you allow your anxieties and insecurities to grow and influence your decisions and choices and the people that you interact with, they can actually determine how successful the relationships you're in are or how unsuccessful those relationships are. Something that I've realized over the years is that human beings are more responsive to fear than they are to love. So, for example, you can meet 100 people today and they can show you love, right? They can, even if it's not active love, but they can even be neutral, just not really care about your existence. And the rest literally just greet you and move on with their lives. And then you get those who will actually show you kindness, maybe give you a drink when you say you're thirsty, give you advice when you say you're unable to finish a project or you're struggling with something with regards to your homework. So we are more likely to respond to that one individual who was malicious towards us. And that's where we make decisions like, I need to be more careful. I need to stop being so gullible. And then every person that you see, you now start to think, when will it be them? So when will they become the predator who's going to, you know, do something evil or something bad to me? And these are the ways of thinking that we need to confront as individuals. Because if you look at what I've just explained in terms of probabilities and improbabilities, right? You then realize that you are actually more likely to come across people who are either indifferent about you or people who just want to greet you and move on with their life than you are to come across people who are willing to do something evil to you. This is just the probabilities of your life. And I say this not to say that you need to not be careful. Obviously, you need to approach every relationship with caution and you need to be on the lookout for people who are doing things that are indicative of the fact that they could be malicious or they could abandon you, they could use you or anything of the sorts. But it's important for us to acknowledge the fact that if you've been in relationships or in situations that have left a fear in you, an insecurity within you or an anxiety within you, you will project those emotions into a relationship that has nothing to do with that particular thing. So I'll make an example with, if you're an individual, for example, who you really love your studies and you love being the best in class and you're always the person who's in the top five, right? That becomes something that is part of your identity. And at any time when someone makes you feel like they're challenging that status of yours, you immediately, even if you don't snap, but there's a part of you that wants to defend and protect you, right? Like, for example, let's say you've always been used to the fact that you're in the top five and then you have a friend say something like maybe you were competing in something arbitrary, but that also has to do with your intellect. And then they make a joke and say, ah, maybe you're not as smart as we all thought you are, you know, and that friend is genuinely joking. But to you, that's not a joke because that comment is tied to you being an overachiever or tied to you being the person who always makes it to the top five at school. Right? That is an insecurity that you have and an anxiety that you've dealt with for years, because every time you write an exam, every time exam time comes, you're already seeing yourself sitting amongst the top three or top five. This is something that's very important to you. But you have to stop for a second and realize that the person, the friend who made the joke about you possibly not being as smart as we thought you are, has nothing to do with them being mean or them being evil. They're just making a joke. It just so happens that that joke is one that touched you at a spot where you're very sensitive. And these are the types of things that tend to challenge our relationships, right? These are the types of things that tend to cause our relationships to implode when we don't keep them in check. When you don't understand that just because you have an insecurity about something, it doesn't mean that everyone in the room has to now bow down to the fact that, or walk on eggshells whenever they're around you, just because you have an insecurity. And here's another reality check. Every single one of us have insecurities. Some of us are better than others at keeping those insecurities in check and making sure that they don't disrupt or destroy our relationships, our work relationships, our relationships with our family, and our relationships with our partners, those that we're planning to marry or those that we are married to. This is a very, very important thing to acknowledge. And this is exactly why people go to therapy, right? Because it helps you identify those insecurities that cause your relationships to implode. You might find that you are more sensitive than you think about certain topics, and you get triggered whenever someone challenges you on that thing, right? I mean, I've mentioned that I've had a friend who was really absorbed in conspiracy theories, and this, he basically became like, among us, he was the expert of conspiracies. And whenever you argued with him or hung out with him, even, you didn't even have to argue with him, just hanging out around him felt like you always had to tiptoe around this idea of conspiracies, because otherwise a debate is going to explode at some point, is going to erupt at some point, right? An argument or whatever the case may be. So what I want to say to you right now is this: you need to be very much aware of the things that trigger you, and understand that just because you're triggered or you're sensitive about something, it doesn't make every person around you who jokes about it wrong necessarily. And it doesn't make them a predator, or it doesn't make them evil. It doesn't mean that they're out to get you, right? And it's sometimes it's not even something as external as pursuing to be the top three at school. Sometimes it's something more internal and personal to you. Like maybe you've been struggling with weight loss, or maybe you've always had a dark complexion. So whenever people are talking about complexion, it resonates different with you. You know, people might be laughing, and you're always asking yourself, are they laughing at me? And I must admit, though, and I must say this with a sincerity, right, that many of us, first of all, many of us have that, right? And secondly, it is not easy to distinguish between people who, when you find yourself in situations where, you know, people are actually making fun of you, or people are just having a conversation and you just so happen to get offended by that conversation, right? Or either offended or just feel insecure as a result of that conversation happening in your presence. So these are the things that we need to be aware of if we want to keep our relationships rich, if we want to keep our relationships growing. And definitely, I have to mention the fact that you will not always get it right. That's very important for you to understand. And when you don't get it right, you need to be mature enough to approach the people who you feel have wronged you, even though they didn't. They were just being the people that you feel have wronged you. If you acted in such a way as to, you know, maybe lash out because they were giggling too loud, or maybe you got upset and stopped speaking to them, it is now, you are now the person who has wronged them, because they meant and said what they said in absolute innocence. And this is where I mean, in the sense that it's challenging to distinguish between someone who's just making a joke and someone who's actually making fun of you sometimes, right? Because especially if it's someone who knows you, because you know they know the thing that you're insecure about, and you think that at all times they're thinking about that thing, but that's not always the case. Sometimes they're just making a joke. Or maybe you find, for example, that at home, you're the person who, I'll make an example, let's say you're the person who eats the slowest and you always get shouted for it. It's a very arbitrary example, right? And I'm just using it for the sake of having one. So because now you know that your brother knows that you're the person who always eats slow, if he ever makes a joke in public and says something like, ugh, you know, these slow eaters, because maybe he spotted someone at a restaurant who's eating very slow. There, it's very difficult for you to not link what he's saying or what she's saying to you and your specific situation of not being the fastest eater at home, right? Because you know they know. But now the question is, at this very moment, is that what they're referring to? And you also have to ask yourself, as being, do you want to be the police, you know, of what your sibling can and cannot say around that particular topic of eating? Because at the end of the day, they're a human being and they can make jokes about things that they see happening right in front of them. And the fact that those things are linked to your personal insecurities can just be a coincidence sometimes. Just something to think about.
Our topic for this evening is overcoming relationship fears, how you can get over your anxieties and insecurities with regards to your relationships. Now, this is obviously the month of love, so our main focus will then be romantic relationships, not only friendship relationships. But as a wedding officiator, someone that does, or should I rather say a marriage officer, someone that is actually officiating weddings and partaking in the marriage ceremonies, getting a husband and wife to actually become a husband and wife, I need to do certain counseling beforehand to see whether they understand the arrangement that they're going in and to see whether they understand the relationship. Now, the only way that I can do that is to do these counseling sessions with them and discuss serious issues that might be. Now, I want to start off by saying, so overcoming your fears and your anxieties means that you've got baggage from a previous relationship. That's most probably what happens, right? You've got baggage from a previous relationship. Then what we can and do really need to consider is mainly three aspects. So the main three aspects of fears and anxieties from previous relationships is money, the family involvement, and then actually sex. So how does money affect you? If you were in a previous relationship and your, obviously it wouldn't be your spouse, but your partner then spent all your money or did not, for instance, have any financial input into the relationship, by other means, they weren't working hard or they weren't working at all and they just expected you to pay anything. The moment you break up and hopefully you've been in a process and then go into a different relationship, you would head in the total different direction. And by means why that is, what I'm saying is that you won't spend any money 90% of the time, almost, well, 80% of the time. You won't spend any money. You are confronted with this person and they are perhaps just having a certain need, or they don't do anything pertaining to money, but you feel that they are going to waste your money. That is fears and anxieties. Now, obviously, you do get in this life of ours, you get people that are, I don't want to call them low lives, but there's almost not a different way to put it. People that just, they have this parasitic revelation with regards to relationships. In other words, they feed off of relationships, but they don't put anything in. So, but they are in the minority. And that's one of the things that you do need to realize. They are totally in a minority. So the chances are, if you're looking for a godly husband and you see in his life certain elements of godliness, you see the fruit of the Spirit, you see the process of sanctification, chances are that he would want to spend quality time with the Word and with God. And not only that, chances are that he would then want to earn an income. Okay, so the second thing is what I mentioned is family involvement. So it can be that you are in a relationship and you weren't good enough, for instance, for the family of the partners, or the family of of your partner just wanted way too much involvement, want to be included in everything and want to say everything. Now the chances are you're going into a new relationship, you've spent your time separated, you've dated someone new or dating someone new, and all of a sudden you're being extra cautious of family members. When he says he wants you to meet his mom and dad, you are cautious because you feel that they're going to be overly involved, you're not going to be good enough. Certain not good enough I almost want to say is a healthy expression of anxiety. We do feel that because we're fully exposed. But the fear of family involvement is, I must be totally honest with you, I feel is overemphasized by Hollywood. Not all parents want to be involved in their children's relationships. Not all in-laws are bad, so take that into consideration. And the last one is sex, and mostly fears and anxieties with regards to relationships, or insecurity and anxiety with regards to romantic relationships pertaining to sex means that you've been cheated on. So your boyfriend or your girlfriend was sleeping around, and now you feel that you can't trust no one. To be totally honest with you, this is very hurtful, and it takes quite some time of healing. Right, it takes a time of, I don't want to say fasting, but a time of not being in a relationship. And taking your time of healing. Now, the best part or the best way to get over that is is to date someone that is not willing to sleep around. So if he's willing to have sex with you before marriage, he's willing to have sex with anyone before marriage. That is not a healthy husband that you are looking to, or a healthy person you want to spend time with. Much rather spend time with someone that has the respect for you, and the respect for himself in order for you guys not to have sex before marriage. So check that out. And how do you get over these anxieties? Find yourself a godly man or a godly woman, someone that is not willing to sleep around, someone that's not willing to live or stay together before you're married. You need to be committed in all aspects of the relationship in order for you to have the relationship successful. Be naked in every aspect of your life, and then only be naked with regards to intimacy and sexuality. Then, there's this very old saying, and I want to say it now because I feel so truthful. Time heals all wounds. You need time to get over fear and anxiety. Don't rush from one relationship to the other. Spend some time alone. Discover who you are. Discover the type of stuff in life that you enjoy. And that is probably the best way over to get over your anxieties and your insecurities with regards to relationships.